The best people forget. It doesn't really matter how good your memory is or how organized you are, you're going to forget things. Men are known for forgetting, husbands especially. They're legendary at forgetting what their wife said. Do you remember back in the good old days when we could go to the grocery and pick out what we wanted? Well, anyway, I was always amused in the grocery store to see men carrying around their phones, trying to make sure they had the right item. Or they're on the phone, making sure they get that exact item. Why? Because they've forgotten. And that's not something they wanted to do again. But forgetting is not just a marital problem. It's a people problem. The best people forget. And it's ironic in our text today, the women are the ones that forgot. We've been studying Luke's gospel, his account of the events of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And if you were with me last week, you remember that the unthinkable happened. It shocked and it horrified all of Jesus' followers when he was killed. In Luke's account, the women stayed and they watched Jesus die. They didn't flinch away from such a terror. They stayed with Jesus. His body was taken down from the cross. They followed Joseph to the tomb where Jesus was laid. They planned to return on Sunday to anoint Jesus' body, and they spent hours, the hours before Sabbath, preparing spices. How terrible and devastating it must have been for these women to watch Jesus die. I mean, it's one thing to watch it in a movie, but another to watch it actually happen. For Jesus was their Savior and their Lord, and it was deeply personal. These women were among the best, the most devoted disciples of Jesus. They were the cream of the crop, and they stayed until the end. Even these women, so close to Jesus, the best of disciples, would forget. Now, I want to caution you as we're studying these historical accounts that in this case, like all history, some details differ, but the overall event is consistent in all the Gospels. I was talking to my brother some time back, and we were reminiscing about the day we were baptized. I was 9 years old, he was 6 years old, and he said, I remember that morning. And I said, wait a minute, the morning? It was the evening. He said, I thought it was the morning. I said, no, I was 9 years old. I remember it very well. It was the evening, and I told him the details of the evening. But the thing, we both remember the actual baptism in the same way. So what's important is the baptism, not the details of the exact time. So keep that in mind as you study our text. So I want to invite you to turn with me. Today our text will be in Luke chapter 24, and this is where we'll be focusing our attention today. Luke 24, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. This group of women would start out early on the first day of the week. This is Sunday. Now this was not a holy day in the Jewish or Roman calendars, but it came to be known as a holy day to Christians. Revelation 1:10, in fact, calls it the Lord's Day. It was the first. For Christians, this was the day that they replaced the Sabbath with as a holy day. So today, just like the early Christians, we meet on Sunday, and I hope that you're meeting with your spouse or your family members, or I hope that maybe you'll gather with a few people in your home and you'll spend some time worshiping, and maybe you'll have prayer and communion. If you were to do that, you would be very biblical, because that's what the early Christians did. The women left early on this Sunday for one purpose, to anoint the dead body of Jesus with spices they had prepared. It's interesting that Jesus' body had already been prepared for burial by Joseph, which was like 70 pounds of spices. So why did the women need to come? Did Joseph leave part of it undone? Did they not trust the preparations that were made by a man? We really don't know. But one thing I do know about women is that they like to put their stamp on things. They like to go through it thoroughly their way. And from what I understand, the purpose of spices was not just the smell, but to bond the wrapping of the body, the wrapping to the body. So the women arrive at the tomb and they find the stone rolled away and the body of Jesus is not there. And Luke says they wondered about this. Notice they found the tomb empty and it doesn't produce faith. It causes them to be perplexed. They were not expecting a resurrection. They were not expecting an empty tomb, and this does not cause them to believe. And they wonder where the body of Jesus is. They were there to anoint a dead body, and that's it. Luke writes, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Not just men, the text tells us later that it was angels, but that's pretty obvious. And you might remember that the angels had appeared at special times in Jesus' ministry. They announced his birth, and here they announced the resurrection. So these aren't ordinary men. The women were afraid. They bowed their faces to the ground out of reverence and awe. The angels are messengers. Their message is, his body's not here. He has risen. And now those stinging words. Remember how he told you. It's kind of like, don't you remember? I mean, the women were some of the best of Jesus' disciples. They were probably there for so much. They were there for so many miracles and so much of his teachings. And even though they weren't mentioned, because women didn't get mentioned much in the Bible, they were there. And the angels are kind of saying, don't you remember? You should have known this. But even the best people forget. The angels are reminding the women of what they already heard. Well, what exactly did they hear? What did Jesus say? If you go back to Luke chapter 9, this happens right after the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus gathers with his disciples, and look at what he says in verses 21 and 22. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now, in the same chapter, this is sometime later, Jesus again warns them and tells them what's going to happen. This is in verses 44 and 45. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Jesus told them, Jesus warned them, and they didn't get it. Why? Because it was a hidden truth. It was meant for them to understand later. It didn't make sense at the time. Have you ever had somebody tell you something that at the time didn't make any sense? And you would understand later. I mean, this is most of parental advice. We're told by our parents things when we're growing up. Do this, don't do this, and how to live our lives. And we don't really understand it. We take what they're saying, and it's not till many years later that we say, oh, I understand. I remember what they said. Well, Easter was an unveiling of the truth of Jesus' teaching. When the angels reminded them of these words of the prophecy of Jesus, verse 8 says, then they remembered his words. The women didn't remember. Now, all the followers of Jesus can understand this because from time to time, we all forget. And we all forget for the same reasons. One of the reasons we don't remember was that they didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say. And I think Christians struggle with selective listening. We only pay attention to things that we can understand very clearly, that are relevant to us right now. In other words, if it doesn't help my daily life right now, we don't let it penetrate into my thoughts. It's got to be about my job. It's got to be about my family. It's got to be about my life. Everything else is not really worth listening to. Jesus told these followers, I'm going to be rejected and killed and raised again. And it didn't make sense. It didn't match what was happening at the time. They had just seen the feeding of the 5,000. A great miracle. So what was this talk about Jesus dying? So they just let it pass. And you know, that happens all the time. We limit our diet of spiritual knowledge. We give a sermon about 2 minutes. If it doesn't impress us, we tune it out. Our mind wanders. We only read and listen to things that we like and that seem relevant. We miss out on so much. We half-heartedly listen, and we pick up just a fraction of what is said. The angels give them the basic message of the gospel. Jesus was crucified. He was raised again. And so the women then become the first messengers, the first people to tell of Jesus' resurrection. They meet up with the disciples. So would these disciples believe the message? Well, let's look back at verses 9 through 12. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So the women meet the 11 and told them what happened. But notice it says the women met with the 11 and the others. That means there were many others in this group. And we have a listing of some of the women. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James. There were others, the Bible says. The women bring a message received by angels that they saw an empty tomb. So what did they think? Verse 11 says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. The King James says, they seemed like idle tales. So just like the women, the news of an empty tomb just caused perplexion. It didn't cause the other disciples to have faith. And there's a lesson in here. You know, when you share your faith with someone, don't be surprised if people don't believe right away. Jesus' own disciples doubted and dismissed at first. Don't be surprised if people say, well, I don't believe the Bible. It's full of tall tales. It's just stories. They're just made up things. These were the 11 disciples. They heard Jesus' teachings. They saw his miracles. They heard him say that he would die and raise again. But they didn't remember either. See, the best of people forget. Believing in the resurrection requires faith because, as we see here, people will find ways to explain things away. So, with God, we deal with the unexplainable. God operates outside human laws. He operates outside space and time. We only remember things that we understand and things that seem relevant, that fall into what we know right now in our present reality. But can a man come back from the dead? Well, next week, the hero arrives, and we'll deal with the eyewitness accounts. But at first, nobody believed, even the empty tomb. Well, we should also mention that Peter, when he heard the report, he reacted differently. He had to check it out. So Luke writes that Peter ran to the tomb, and he found it empty with strips of linen. And he went away wondering. Even Peter was curious, but he still didn't believe. Not yet, anyway. He would believe. In time. See, right now our world is in turmoil over a virus. We can't even see this virus. And we are trusting government officials, words of officials, to tell us what to do. And we're doing what they say we should do. We believe them almost 100%. Whatever they tell us to do, we're trying to do it. And yet, Christians understand this whole idea of faith because we believe in Jesus. We cannot see him, but we know he's real. We know he overcame death, and He has power over everything. But here's the question. How well do we remember what He said? See, what I'm seeing around me from some friends and some family members and some just people in society in general is I'm seeing panic. I'm seeing worry. I'm seeing people overreacting and becoming paranoid. Have we forgotten what Jesus said? Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. This is Jesus. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" We allow ourselves to worry to the point where we're getting sick with worry and stress, but have we forgotten what Jesus said? Can we trust Him enough to put this in His hands? Well, the best people forget, and every one of us will naturally struggle with remembering some details for a period of time. But this is a time, Easter is a time, of a new remembrance, a remembrance of Jesus, and a remembrance of His words. And right now, I want to encourage you to listen to God. Listen to God. Our lives have been put on pause. But let's take some time and listen to what God is speaking. Let me give you some techniques to help you remember and help you hear what God is saying. So whatever you're reading, whether you're hearing a sermon or you're reading a Christian book or an audio book, here's some things that help me remember, and maybe they'll help you too. One technique is to write down key points. Writing it down helps us retain it longer. If you're not a writer, just write down key words. The second technique is to ask questions. Ask mental questions during a sermon or a lesson. When you're studying, ask questions, and then later, after the study is over, research the answers. Number three, reflect. Reflect on the thoughts that you've written down and remember. This allows you to keep it in your mind longer. You can even go and discuss it with a Christian. Do you have somebody you like to talk to that's a Christian? Talk to them about what you heard, and this will reinforce what you are learning. Number four, apply it. Find some way to apply to your life what you've learned. Come up with practical ideas to use what you've learned. And number five, memorize. Find a key verse that really speaks to you, and commit that verse to memory. You never know when that verse will come back. When we learn to remember God's word, we will find that those words will come back to us at the right time. As I was concluding my sermon, praying about what I would say, this verse out of John 14 comes to mind, and this is what Jesus told His disciples. And I want you to listen to these words and let them really sink in. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Are you at peace? During times like this, it's easy to become uncertain. But now is the time to really ask, what is my relationship with the Lord? Am I walking with Him? Life is uncertain. Jesus is the only way to peace and stability and forgiveness. Do you know His peace? It's available to you. You just have to exercise faith. You have to believe. You have to go down that journey and do what He says and turn from your sin and confess Him and be baptized. These are all things that can happen. Right now we're kind of in an awkward situation, but we can always find time to obey the Lord. So to my church family, I just hope that you're trusting the Lord. I hope that you're not panicking. I want to remind you that I love you. I hope we're going to be together soon. And just please know that I'm here for you if you need me. And I'll talk to you next week.